August 11, 2023, it's the Waffle Pedro Show. For Pedro Show, happy Monday. Starting off with John Coltrane. This is an excerpt from him. Common date these days, right? November 22nd, 1962. This is Training In. And then we had Shane Parrish with But Not For Me. And as you can probably hear, I'm not in man alone mode because those software engineers from Estonia with their Skype invention. I got with me, courtesy of Scotty Irvin. Thank you for the connect, brother Scott. Shane Parrish, welcome aboard.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, so glad
Thanks
to
for
have
having
you.
Me. Really a great honor to be on the show.
Oh,
really
right
appreciate
back.
You.
Yeah. Right back. Where are you talking to me from, Shane?
Say that again. Oh, I'm talking to you from Athens, Georgia.
Okay.
In my basement.
Okay. Been there in a while. You know, I saw last year, I actually played a wedding up in Cypress Park, and Barry Buck was there.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, runs a 40 watch.
Cool.
Yeah, so, small world, right? Okay. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Okay. My earliest musical recollection, I think, is like probably dancing to Neil Diamond's Coming to America at my aunt and uncle's house in Long Island when I was like 4 years old.
That's happened.
I was like
Long Island
committed.
You know, I read the Victor Bachrach book on Lou Reed, Transformer, and he grew up in Long Island. Levittville?
Oh, yeah.
I think it was kind of like the first track housing in the U.S.
Oh, right. Levittown, maybe?
That's it.
Yeah. I didn't grow up there. I was just, like, visiting them, but, yeah, that's where.
Okay.
That's, like, the colorful memory of hearing some music.
What I got to say is track housing, that's if you don't, if you ignore military housing, because that's what, I grew up in Navy housing and stuff. That's what track housing reminds me of. Anyway, this pad you grew up in, not just visiting, but. The pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
No, not at all, actually. I grew up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and my mom had a flute cased up somewhere in a closet maybe, but I wasn't, it wasn't a musical household, I don't think.
Didn't jump on that flute.
I didn't jump on the flute. I have it now. I play it sometimes, I just leave it uncased in the corner and try to.
Oh, wow. So you learned about it. Can I ask you about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
No, I wasn't. Not at all.
I just asked that because, some schools got rid of their fucking music and arts programs.
Totally, yeah.
Everybody comes from different paths to get to now, right? And then we're going to go to wherever after that. But I'm just curious because it amazes me all the different ways. But anyway,
yeah.
That's what you have with the many and the singular at the same time. Let me ask you, first record you bought with your own money, Shane?
Yeah, I think the first record that I remember going to the store and buying with my own money was probably Metallica, Injustice for All.
That? Because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. So I'm curious, what would you spend it on? And what was the first gig you saw?
First gig I saw was Megadeth and Suicidal Tendencies in Miami Bayfront Park, Halloween 1992.
There was actually a joke band called Megadeth. I think they had to buy the name. It was some of the guys from the Plimsolls. They had, like, this side project. And Minutemen actually played, I wouldn't shit you. It was with them and Spinal Tap before the movie came out. I think the only gig they ever did. And Minutemen
I think I heard about that.
Minutemen, it was at this place called the Music Machine, on the west side of Los Angeles. And me and D-Boom both broke strings on the first note of the first tune. Which was our 40-second version of Ain't Talking About Love. Yeah, the screen had to come back. They had the screen, right? And the screen had to come back down.
Anyway, man, that's funny.
Let me ask you this. You end up a guitar man.
Yeah.
Well, how'd that happen?
My friends were, like, playing guitar, and I was around 14, and I decided I wanted to learn it also, and so people kind of, his friends just started showing me licks, and I got my mom to get me a Striker, like some kind of Strat, knockoff guitar.
But at least it was an electric one, right? Because I've had a lot of cats on the show, right? When they're young, the first guitar they get's acoustic, and they're wondering why it don't sound like anything on the records.
Totally, yeah. No, it was electric, yeah.
But then even with electric, you don't really, well, maybe nowadays, because kids grow up quicker, but the idea of pedals, right? How do they get those sounds?
Totally, totally. Yeah, by the time I was, like, 16, I had, like, 16 pedals surrounding
me. Me and D. Boone had no idea. Me and D. Boone thought it was some kind of studio wizardry.
Wow, yeah, totally. I think at a certain point, though, I looked at them all and I said, I got to get rid of all of these and learn how to play the instrument a little bit, you know, because it was, that was.
Let me ask you about your learning. Did you take lessons? Yeah. Or was it just your buddies showing you shit?
At first it was them showing me shit, and then I just started experimenting. You know, I listened to a lot of music, and I just kind of started just moving the fingers around and finding things that I liked, and then started trying to, like, read books and stuff. And
But autodidact, no lessons.
Right, yeah. Okay. I took some here and there later, like, but not nothing consistent, you know, I you know.
Okay. No, yeah, that's okay. I've had people on the show where the lessons almost made them quit music, so fuck that.
Totally, without a doubt.
Let me ask you this. Not graduating, but after school in the afternoon, garage band, the bedroom band, the basement band, did you get into that kind of stuff?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. We were like just kind of jamming in my garage, and then really, by the time I was like 16 or 17, we rented like a warehouse in Dania Beach area, kind of like near like Jaco Pastorius' hometown, you know.
Believe it or not, I played. This is by Cape Canaveral. It's called Melbourne, Florida.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Played a gig there. This fire hose days, and his brother came to the gig, Michael Pastorius.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and his stage name was Rock Michael because he was a poet. And he was a daytime accountant guy, but at nighttime he's a poet. And yeah, awesome. You could tell there was something trippy in the family. He's
totally.
Very kind to us, though. But I remember waking up in the morning ready to bail for the next gig, and he had a pillow sack over his head, and he had brought out this bowl of jalapenos. He thought those were hot for us, you know, but we're used to that shit, right? We're habanero people.
Right.
And I guess he had chowed them all because there was just stems, you know, the little stem thing. And so you okay? So, good acoustics in a warehouse?
Probably not. we put some foam up on the walls because there was like a barber shop next door and then like a bar on the other side. So it was like a mixed use sort of like warehouse like zone, you know?
Sure.
And but we did a lot of like, you know, psychedelics, and you know, I went ahead and dropped out of school, and we were just like jamming all night long, and did that for a couple of years.
Were you copying songs off records like me and D. Boone when we were boys, or were you guys writing your own stuff?
We were writing our own stuff, but you know, we were certainly influenced by things, but we were totally, like you said, autodidactic, so there wasn't like a lot of chops or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, but then, you know, I guess you get better, you know, but yeah, we were like just really into like Pink Floyd and, you know, like same as you guys, from my understanding, you know, like I really like John Coltrane is a huge influence, and just kind of like open exploratory sort of, you know, universal experience of music that, you know, kind of gravitated towards. And so there's a lot of just going for it. We would just stretch out and improvise and write songs and,
Let me ask you, was this a prac band, or did it end up doing any gigs?
We did some gigs. My thing was like to get into like doing like open mic nights. I was growing up in Fort Lauderdale. There's like the whole Southeast Florida is like you got like Miami, Dade County, Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, and then like West Palm Beach. And so it's like kind of a megalopolis, you know? And so so I would find out where the open mics were in the different counties. And we started just kind of going to open mics like two or three nights a week and setting up and playing our weird music.
Well, first let me ask you, did this band have a name?
Yeah, it was called Union Prayer Book.
And what was the first Union Prayer Book gig?
Okay, first Union Prayer Book gig was actually at a Barnes & Noble in Hollywood, Florida. And it was, and at the time, it was just me and a singer, this guy Chris Bird. He wrote all the lyrics and sang, and I wrote all the songs, like the structures and like the music. And we actually wrote like two albums worth of material that were never like realized, and were probably decent. You know, I'm sure could be developed, but yeah. So we did I was in 10th grade, and a lot of people came from the school. Like, teachers came and students came. It was sort of packed, and it was totally engaged. And I thought for sure we were going to be so successful.
Was it scary?
What's that?
Was it scary for you?
Was it scary?
Yeah.
I was definitely, I think I was nervous, but I kind of had this really ridiculous confidence especially when I didn't know what I was doing. And then as I learned more and more what I was doing, I think that kind of slowed down a little bit. But, that was carrying me forth.
That gig broke the water for you, though. That's your first time. Okay, yeah. So you would say it was a success. That's great. Look, you gave me this, I want to pronounce it right, Aluchatistas?
Yeah, Aluchatistas.
Okay, Aluchatistas. Yeah, that's right. Alucha. I'm thinking of New Orleans or something. Okay. You gave me the shell in Ogunilan. Let's listen.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Ride off the rail, speak for life. dish man is. Mood is what man is, what does. Impression of an image that was. Line off the rail, speak for line, and signal an unchanged beam dawned upon us on her ancient eyelids.
Walk for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with the Alan Chatistas. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Parker. Remember that Steely Dan song, that Mr. Parker's band?
Oh, nice, man.
I think it's Pretzel Logic or something. Doug Wimbush after that, great bass man from Connecticut. Leave It Alone. I think he's out with Living Color right now. Thomas Prendon, Morning Has Fallen. Guided by Voices, another brand new album, you know. Every other month, right? You got a new album from Bob Paul.
Wow.
He's the guy. He's incredible. Radioactive Pigeons. Great tune. Mazinga. This is live out of Ann Arbor. Hardcore jam. It didn't even have a title yet, but they gave it to me live. Chris Box, beautiful cat. Live June 4, 2023. Eugene Chadbourne. Out of Greensboro, we had Benja Johnson on. And Professor Huge with the... People know him about the Electric Rake, right, and Psychobilly, but this is him on acoustic. Dairy Queen's tune. MSSV, French Road Drifters, from the upcoming album, Human Reaction. This is the tour I'm working on, right? First gig, September 5. So what's getting ready for tour number... If you call a tour more than a month, it'll be my 68.
Wow.
Only 68 more. R04/K-How/Explain. This is a collab, people, out of Tokyo. Yama Tonorochi. No Orochi. Yeah, sorry. Gomenessa. Huntsman after that with Ride Out, Detroit. And finally, Library of Babel with Winner. That's you. Library of Babel. So anyway, yes. What happens, Union Prayer Boat?
What happened?
Well, what happens, the arc of the career, or is it still going? Is this,
maybe, well, the singer was kind of, it was kind of like sort of doomed from the start in some ways because of the personalities in the group, you know.
Was it in the cards?
Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, it was somewhat tragic. I'm still good, very good friends with the drummer for that band that ended up joining that band. It was one of my best friends, but... it kind of like lasted a couple of years, and then it was time to end it.
Okay, and what? Yeah, but you don't end music. So what's next chapter?
Yeah, let's see. Wow. I guess I moved to Tallahassee, Florida, and I get involved in playing music with a great violinist named Trina Basu, and a really great bass player named Buck Colson, and I end up doing. And I also play in a free jazz band called Ninjazz, which ended up being sometimes like 10 to 12 pieces, and we would cover like Pharoah Sanders and like start trying to learn Coltrane tunes and stuff like that. And then Buck and Trina and I played.
He wrote some music, like his first Impulse record, he had his buddy Eric Dolphy arrange, Africa Brass. That's got a bunch of people. And also there's the Ascension thing and the Ohm.
Yeah.
I think that, but those are more like Ornette influenced.
Sure, yeah.
But you always think of John Coltrane, small little bands, but he tried some big stuff too.
Yeah, no doubt, yeah.
Oh, okay, sure. So you're, because that's a college town, I think Florida State.
Yeah.
And also Capital. So maybe there was a big pool of musicians there compared to where you were?
For sure, yeah, and it wasn't as spread out, right? So, yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, because I haven't thought about this so much, thanks for the question, is that, like, I was ended up playing with a lot of different people in a lot of different groups around this time, like 18, 19, 20 years old, you know, like, in different styles, like, but, you know, still self-taught, still, like idiosyncratic and autodidactic, but also playing with musicians who were really skilled that I would learn a lot from, you know, that could, you know, understood jazz or had some great chops or, like, just to expose me to different styles. So I was kind of plugging in, trying to find my way.
Now, by this time, you don't have your Ma's electric guitar. The one you got. Yeah, okay. So what'd you end up getting?
Well, it took a minute to graduate to something decent. I ended up with this, like, Washburn Telecaster style guitar for a minute. But then I settled into this... this purple Stratocaster that I played for like 10, 12, 15 years or something that I toured all over Europe with eventually and stuff like that, you know, but that I got at a shop there, and I think they were selling it for like like lower cost because it was this purple color and they thought no one wanted it or something. Like, I remember the guys in the store being like, no one wants this guitar.
Jay Mascus. Prince.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, I think the Jay Mascus model, he gave me one. It's like purple flake, like a hot rod, a funny car.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, this is like a royal purple, though. You're right. Like more like Prince, yeah.
I gave it to Tom Watson, my missing man guitar. So, okay, so you're playing with that. You know, that's an education itself, playing with different people, different kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
In fact, people pay big money for that.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was a smart move. I think that was real smart.
Yeah. I was, like, co-housing, too. Like, with the band, like, for a while, it was, like, a year, you know, it was, like, me and just musicians. And I remember being up late night, smoking weed, listening to, like, Charles Mingus together in a room that was dark, just with, like, a bunch of people, dudes, you know. And then we would go and, like, jam, and, like, and I had a weekly gig with this free jazz band at a cafe for a while. And so we, like, there was a real, I think it was a really important time, you know. And I was doing, like, this Indian fusion music also under the direction of a sitarist at Florida State University that Trina got me involved in, which was, like,
Ragas.
A lot going on. Yeah, like raga-based
stuff. And like different times, you play different ragas for different times of the day.
Totally, yeah.
It's like really keyed into life and stuff. And also all the notes, it seems like all the notes are in every, you know, there is no keys. Like you just, it's trippy.
Yeah, for sure.
Compared to the West. I mean, look, John Coltrane named his second son, Robbie.
That's right.
All right. And then I read, you know, maybe 10 John Coltrane bios, and some of them have Ravi Shankar's actually going to see John Coltrane, and the music disturbed him.
Wow.
Yeah, even though John Coltrane, you know, sometimes it's not a two-way street. Or maybe they just didn't have enough time to develop it. They never got to play with each other, but I know John Coltrane loved his music.
For sure.
And can I ask you, were you ever recording yourself? Like Man Alone?
Yeah. I mean, like ever?
No, at this point in these early days.
I don't think so. I wish I had. I have all these like cassettes of, you know, some of the groups that I mentioned, you know, that were, but I'd have to dig through. I didn't really get into that till later, like a lot of solo playing, you know, like or a lot of solo recording.
Yeah,
know?
Because I was going to say, not only recording, but it's a way of, you know, your compositions, it's a way of capturing them, you know.
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know what, they say that youth is usually wasted on the young.
Right.
Like, you realize this stuff, like, yeah, like, me and D-Boone got nothing from our old days. But maybe that's good, because we didn't know you were supposed to tune to each other. We thought tuning was like, yeah, some people like strings tight, some like them loose. We
thought
if you played Down on the Corner, you know, that Creedence Clearwater Revival song, and it sounded all right, you were in tune. We didn't know that your Down on the Corner had to be the other guy's Down on the Corner. Yeah, we're slow learners. We're at the end of the first hour, August 11, 2023 edition, Watt Pedro Show special guest, Shane Parrish. Hold tight for hour two. August 11, 2023. It's the second hour of Watt for Pedro Show. Watford Pedro show start off second hour with Alotasistas.
Close.
Yeah, I don't get it one century. Tom Hall, with that, Tom Hall after that, dilated. It's like when your pupils are dilated. That's it, dilated. Fucking <idiot. laughs> Yeah, I'm only 65. Okay, Skull Practitioners after that with Fire Drill. Bob Lord from his new record, Bass Man, but also big symphony leader guy. Transmedium Travel, and finally Shane Parrish with Turn Around, Bright Eyes. Okay, so how did this project... How old is this, Alotasistas?
It's 21 years old. I formed it in 2002.
Okay. And how and why?
Mm-hmm. How and why? Yeah, I was living in Asheville, North Carolina at this time, and I knew that I wanted to make. I was into progressive rock music, but I also was into jazz, and I also was playing in a hardcore band that I joined when I moved there called Shovel Fight. And I thought, you know, I started hearing bands actually like, you know, that band Ruins, you know?
You're and, talking about the drummer man. He usually has a sax player with him.
Yeah. And like, and I started hearing like music that was coming out at that time that was like prog rock that was like, had a more of a punk aesthetic to it. And I thought, oh, you know, cause I was really into, you know, all the things I mentioned, like kind of like Zappa, kind of compositional kind of things. And
can I ask you if you're aware of John Zorn?
Yeah, John Zorn is a huge influence. He's actually put out three of my records.
I knew that. That's why I asked.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. So John Zorn, like Naked City, really knocked my socks off. Put it like, and I thought, you know, let's do this. You know, just something that was like instrumental but more aggressive and like progressive in structure. It's like King Crimson influence and Naked City, Mahavishnu Orchestra, Zappa, but like also like punk, like Fugazi, you know, kind of sound. Minuteman, do you know those guys? Kind of like, you know, Captain Beefheart.
Can I ask you if those experiences kind of taught you that fuck genre, music is music?
Exactly. Yes. Okay. Definitely.
Great. Because I wish more of us would learn that. It took me a lifetime.
Yeah, for sure.
It's such a waste of time to get into that genre, and people like talking about the music by referring to other bands. I mean, it's okay. I guess for an example, but can you remember the? Okay, who was in the first verse? Is it been the same people all these years?
20 no. Years? Okay. No.
What was the first version?
The very first version, which was never the recorded first version, was a bass player named Dave Marks and a drummer named Mike Horgan. And we did two original compositions and an extended, like, more upbeat kind of breakbeat version of Naima by John Coltrane.
Oh, yeah.
And we played a house show.
You know,
like,
he wrote that for his first wife, right? And he played it all the way to the end. He loved that, too.
That's such a great tune. And so that was the first lineup, but it was only lasted for that one show just due to, like, a mix of tragedy and, like, circumstance, like, nothing, no bad blood or anything weird, just ended up not working out. And then very quickly shifted to being Derek Poteet on electric bass and Sean Dale on drums. And that band put out five albums playing, you know, some jazz festivals in Europe and started – getting attention,
this show we've already played Shell and Ogun Naland and Vanished. Were they on those two?
The original lineup was on Shell and Ogun Naland, yes. And that was on our album What You Will on Cuneiform Records, 2006.
Oh, wow, Steve.
Yeah, Steve Feigenbaum.
Yeah, beautiful cat. I've had a lot of his cats on the show. Okay.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah, he kind of discovered us in Baltimore, like 2005. He came out to a gig. And,
yeah, he lives in the D.C. area, right?
Yeah, Silver Springs. Okay. That's right.
Okay. Wow. Small world.
Yeah.
I'm digging that much. And Vanished?
So Vanished is on a record also on Cuneiform called Heads Full of Poison that came out in 2012, I think. And that's just a duo with a drummer named Ryan Oslantz, who originally like replaced Sean Dale in 2008. And then after we did a record, we did another record for Tsadi called Of the Body Prone with that trio of Derek Petit, Ryan Oslantz. And then Derek left the band. And then Ryan and I continued on as a duo, and kind of our style changed a bit when it was just a duo, you know.
You know about Stellar Regions, you know, after John Coltrane died, released, and he's just playing with Rashid. He said he got freed up by not having to follow chords.
He's freed up by it, yeah.
Did you find out the same thing, just playing with the drumming?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, and also you're not... First of all, no offense, because I love bass players. I love your playing, and I love playing with bass players, you know. But there was a thing about like not being locked in any kind of groove, you know. Also, without the bass player, because we actually have a bass player now. It's Trevor Dunn. I think he's been on your show.
Oh
before.
Yeah, no, much respect.
At the time it was very freeing.
He's a great composer.
Amazing composer. I mean, he's a brilliant, brilliant guy.
Okay, you gave me this Megaopolis. Which version of the band is this?
So that's the latest version of the band, which is Trevor Dunn on bass and Danny Pichocki on drums. And he lives in Tampa, Florida. And then Trevor, of course, is in New York.
Let's listen.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. Why don't you love me much as I love you? Why don't you love me much as I love you? Why don't you understand that it hurts so bad when I hear you're with another man? Why don't you love me I love you? Well, lost in the crowd with nothing to say when you showed me another way. I felt alive again. You were my only friend. I wanted to live another day. Well, everything you said stuck inside my head. I let you play the role. I had to wonder why we wasted our time, but I'm still in love with you. I think you played me the fool. You broke all the rules, had to walk away from you. Why don't you love me as much as I love you? Why don't you don't you understand that it hurts so bad when you're sleeping with another man? Why don't you love me as much as I love you? It felt so good, you had me hypnotized. And when I held your hand for the very last time, your heart went cold, and then the truth was told. You'll never love me.
Bring his head on a platter. Fuck, he's still. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Check, check. I walked back the words that I said to you. I walked back the words that I said to you. There's a time and a place, and we both know that saving face is not my strong suit. I'm walking backwards. I'm walking backwards. Walking backwards. I'm walking backwards. Will you walk back the words that you said? Those words that you said to me. It's not necessary. No apologies. From the right side.
Start off that chunk. Ouch, Tistis. Come on, what?
Nailed it.
Tim Hill after that with Calico. Van Conner. There's a bass brother we lost at the beginning of the year. Why Don't You Love Me, the electric version. Gary Lee Conner's brother. Carnage Asada from their new album. This tune's Head on a Platter. Helco with I Can't Stand 6 Feet From You. Yeah, I fucked up and put feed. So I fixed that. Okay, Ray Shinetta, Reno with Pachinko 77, and finally Shane Parrish, Walk Backwards. So you know, we played a Shane Parrish song last chunk of music, and so when do you call it Shane Parrish?
Yeah, when I'm by myself.
Good reason.
But, yeah, I thought about I might need another name because sometimes I play solo instrumental and out, but sometimes I'll be like singing or talking, you know.
Okay. And like, where was this in the arc of your career, this walk backwards?
Fairly recent. I moved to Athens, Georgia in 2021, and on that recording you hear John Fernandez, who's been, you know, a legend of the Athens music scene for a long time, and so he's on there. And then like I had been for the last right before the pandemic, I started performing songs where I would sing and play, and then I picked that back up, and it just took me about 25, 30 years to gain the confidence to sing in public and to, you know, but I found that I really enjoyed the challenge of it, and I found that I could be a lot more confessional and put on more of a variety show, as like, you know, I have a hard time doing banter when it's just instrumental music. I think it sort of breaks the spell, but when I'm doing songs with words, I feel like there's like a more of a conversational thing happening. So I really enjoy performing like that. So this was like the first, I think, you know, successful musically song, you know, that I recorded from this repertoire that I've been trying to record a record of for the last like year and a half or so.
And you kind of have to sublimate the instrumental to back up the words, right? So like there's different contexts.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think mixing stuff up and trying new experiences is healthy. I think it opens up the vocabulary.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, who just moved to Athens, Georgia, too? I saw last year when I was coming through Atlanta. He came to the gig, but he moved from Orange County. He's the bass man from Middle Class, the old Orange County band, probably the fastest band in those days, like late 70s. Mike Patton. His name's Mike Patton, but he ain't the Mike Patton Trevor Dunn played with. This is another back. He actually produced two Minutemen 7-inchers. And he ended up running the fucking bus system in Orange County. He retired, raised a family. He moved out to Athens, Georgia. And he started a band. I can't remember the name. It's trippy. It starts with a G, but I've played some on the show here. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. August 11, 2023. This is Wap Pedro Show special guest, Shane Parrish. Hold tight for hour three. August 11, 2023, it's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro Show. for Pedro Show. Start off third hour, A Man Alone, Seeing Parish, Holloway Joe, then Healers in Illinois, close to Indiana. Painting the Town Blind, finally Shane Parish, Black Eyed Susan. I know those, they're like, kind of like daisies, but yellow and black instead of white and black.
Totally, that's right, yeah.
White and yellow, yeah, well, daisies are white and yellow, so yellow and black is the Black Eyed
Susan. That's right, yellow and black, yeah.
So, tell us about these Enlighteners here.
Yeah, for sure. So both of those songs, Holloway Joe and Black Eyed Susan, are sea shanties. They're like...
No, I know all about like, shanties. Yeah, it was a way of the sailors organizing because they had to yank them fucking sails up. No winds.
That's right.
And so you could get in the rhythm. Like work songs in our country with the yeah, slavery taught all those skills. But you used it as part of your work, shanties.
Totally, yeah. I mean, and they were like a huge. That was a huge influence on the sea shanty repertoire. It was like American work songs, and then like Irish ballads. It's like it's kind of the main kind of I think influences tying those that style together, that repertoire. But yeah, and then Black Eyed Susan was more of like a lover lost at sea ballad. So these are vocal tunes, and I spent a lot of time doing like folk music where I take the vocal melody and then like I arranged it for guitar, and I've done a lot of that with acoustic guitar. This album I did electric guitar is called Liverpool is the name of the record, and it's on the Dear Life Records, came out last year. But and then, so it's all drawing from the sea shanty repertoire and just doing these kind of I don't know post-punk experimental guitar / jazz arrangements of them.
Well, off air, you know, off air, we were talking about Bela Bartok a little bit. He got inspired by these little town folk songs, right? Kind of things for inspiration to these kind of abstract, full-blown. You know, I think inspiration comes from a lot of things that can kind of start off, kind of knock you. You wouldn't think would make a connect.
Totally. Yeah, no doubt. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, I love folk melodies, and I really like some of those kind of minor, you know, shanty melodies. They're so evocative of you know, deep feelings, and I think, you know, and some of them are driving work songs, but I think as an improviser or someone who's like exists in history with this music, you can really, it can give a, you know, the shape of those songs or invite you to play with them, you know, and to you know, and see how you interact with them as an individual, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that makes sense.
No, it totally does, because you know, this is what art can be used for, to transcend, you know, shortcomings of your reality. You know, why not imagine, you know, and let the freak flag fly. Yeah, I'm way into it. Now here's something I think you did with. Yeah, I'm sure, because it's got another cat's name here, John Kieran Fernandez, you mentioned earlier.
That's right.
And this is called Improvisation 1. Maybe it was your first improvisation with him.
It truly was, yes.
Okay, let's listen. Thank you.
We got the message. I think there's something wrong. I can't explain. I'm sorry. We got the message. I think there's something wrong. I can't explain. I'm sorry. We got the message. I think there's something wrong. I can't explain. I won't explain. What I mean, sorry. What I mean is, we've got the message. Can you imagine? I think there's something wrong. Knowing something. I can't explain. So terrified. I'm sorry. You dead as hell. We got the message. What are you trying to? I think there's something wrong. What I mean. I can't explain. What I mean is, I'm sorry. Can you imagine? We got the message. No, so I think there's something wrong. Terrible. I can't explain it. I won't explain. We got the message. I think there's something wrong. I can't even imagine.
What am I supposed to say?
I dare tell anyone. I think there's something wrong.
That isn't the whole story.
What I'm trying to. I can't explain.
Wrong.
I won't explain.
I dare explain what I mean.
Sorry.
What all it means.
We've got a message.
Did you get the message?
Imagine? I think there's something wrong.
Did you get on the fly
hearing something?
I can't explain.
So terrible.
That isn't the whole story.
I'm sorry. You're dead terrible now. We've got the message.
What I'm trying to.
I think there's something wrong.
I
can't explain
what I mean is.
I can't explain. I'm sorry. Can you imagine? We got the message.
Did you get the message?
So, I think there's something wrong.
Did you get on the line?
I'm sorry. I can't explain to anyone.
That isn't the whole story.
What I'm trying to say. I don't explain.
What
we got the message when we were looking.
That isn't the whole story.
For some kind of salvation.
I think there's something
in the weeds and the dirt. Can you imagine? I can't explain.
There is a tag
of a stream.
No and we pretend it was a river. So then we pretended we were pilots. Did you get on a noble mission?
Did you get on a plane?
I'm sorry. Wasn't trying to.
That is
what it is. What we were looking for was some kind of salvation, and we imagined in the weeds and the dirt.
I think there's something wrong.
Going to the banks of a stream. I dare that we pretended it was a river. Terrible. We pretended. We were pirates. On a noble mission.
Did you get the message?
Was it trying to?
Did you get on a plane?
I'm sorry.
That isn't the whole story.
We were pirates on a noble mission. Was to try and to.
Was smoke went easy. Did you get the message? Cramming up left, right. Did you get on the plane? Can you?
I'm sorry.
That isn't.
Salvation of life in the weeds and the dirt. In the banks of the stream, but we pretended to be the river. We pretended we were pirates.
Can you?
On a noble mission.
No, sorry. I need to know.
Can you get a message? Why? We were pilots on a lonely mission. I need to know, how did you get here?
Thank you.
said they made a promise. They made a promise.
Did you plan for this?
I said they made a promise.
You did?
They made a promise. I said they made a promise.
It's too late.
They made a promise. I said they made a promise.
Show last music for this edition. Started that chunk off with Shay Pearson, John Kieran Fernandez with Improvisation One. And from Brighton, England, Day Glow Exploding Super Infinite with Ben Sick, Ellipse. And finally, Ala Chatistas. Maybe I got that.
Yes.
Fuck what? Slow learner. This is called Heraclitean.
Yes.
He's a philosopher, right?
Yeah.
I think totally. He's the cat who said you can't stand in the river twice, right? Same.
Nailed it. Yeah, totally. That's right. You can't arrive at your destination either, right?
Yeah, because the water rushes by. Yeah, you can't arrive at your destination. Yeah. For 2,400 years ago, pretty good. You know, some of those cats, they, yeah. So, what did my pop say? He'd say, there's nothing more dangerous than a good idea. Okay, Pop. He also thought the way the word assume was spelled was incredibly magical. See, you make an ass out of you and me.
Whoa, that's good. It's no accident. Use that, that's for sure.
That's no accident, boy.
Yes.
So, yeah, hip us to both those pieces, please.
Yeah, you want some? Okay, so John Fernandez is, he's most famous for playing with this band called Olivia Tremor Control.
Sure.
Which is an Athens band, part of the Elephant Six Collective.
Yeah, you know, Empower or something, Elf Power.
Elf Power, yep, yep, they're around, and then Neutral Milk Hotel.
Right.
So he's an Athens, just beautiful soul. When I moved here in 2021, one of the people that really welcomed me into the community, and great musician, great improviser, plays gigs like almost every night of the week, like around town, and is just always at every show, and is very, just like a very just colorful character that really kind of adds a lot to the scene. And yeah, he started coming to my shows when I moved to town whenever I would play, and that's how I met him. And then he came over to my house and we recorded this little record of improvisations that we just kind of put out digitally. And so the whole record is just our first interactions. I think we both are coming from a broad, obviously, pool of influences as we've been discussing on the show. But I think with our music, it was very like, you can hear like the Moondog influence in this kind of like, we're improvising, but it's rhythmic and it's tonal and it's percussive. And there's kind of like, you know, we're kind of working within like a modal space and trying to, you know, it's not going totally out into left field necessarily, but it's still experimental and exploratory. And I think he has a great feel and just a great person. Let's see. What was the other song? Heraclitean?
That
was like Luchatista's. That was kind of the first, really one of the first things that Ryan Oslance, the drummer, and I did as a duo when the band morphed into a duo. And I thought it was a very strong production because we were working with this producer who like just, we kind of moved into his place more or less for, you know, a couple months to make that song sound the way it does. And it was really interesting to kind of pull together. I think there's like a really big like Morricone influence on that song.
Yeah.
With some of the, you know, just like having the riff like down 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 down, and then those like kind of bass hits like over it in unison was definitely. I can't remember which film I'm at this moment, but I know that's where my head was at when I wrote that tune.
Well, he's a trumpet man, and I think surf guitar, he felt a parallel with it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful cat, man. A lot of great sounds. And just, it's choral stuff, right, with the singing, like Good, Bad, and the Ugly and shit.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah.
It's mind-blowing. So, look, you mentioned with John Kieran Fernandez recording at your pad. Do you have a little studio set up?
Yeah, I have like a little room that I, it's nothing fancy, you know, I just have like an interface.
No,
like
but I love this idea of musicians recording themselves. There used to be a Grand Canyon between recorders and being recorded.
Yeah, it's incredible. I think I saw something the other day, like online, that someone, you know, people are making records in their bedroom that used to cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to produce.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I was involved with some records, 1,500 fucking days, and 2 hours each way up to Hollywood for that privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not missing that.
No, yeah.
Okay, so it's not all bad new days. And what are you doing right now? What is the right now Shane Parrish concern musically?
Yeah, man. Right now, I am recording the songs record I mentioned, and then I'm teaching a lot of guitar. I teach guitar, so you know, if I can plug that.
Do you have a website? Where can people find you on the internet to get lessons?
ShaneParrish.com.
Yeah. People, ShaneParrish.com for some lessons.
Yeah, and then one of my main projects in the last like 2 years, 3 years has been working with guitarist Bill Orcutt.
Yeah.
He has a record that he made called Music for Four Guitars that he recorded basically like all the riffs for into Logic and then constructed this guitar quartet. And then he hired me to make a transcription of it and then to put the band together. And so we have a quartet with Ava Mendoza and Wendy Eisenberg.
Great guitar lady. Yeah, in fact, with this MSSV project, we got to do some Stooges Funhouse with her.
Nice, amazing. Yeah,
she tore it up. She tore it up.
Yeah, and so we're going to Europe in November, and we've done some tour dates like this year. So that band took 2 years to like transcribe, you know, and get the record out and all that kind of stuff. But now it's a touring unit, and that's really exciting.
And what about your own music? Is there a recording coming up?
At the moment I'm just trying to get this songwriter thing out of my way, you know, and so I have it set up where I can just like work on it all the time. So I don't like have any. Let me think. I don't think I have any like immediate releases happening, well, but I intend to get that out by next year. Yeah,
it don't have to be immediate, but here's the invite. When it comes out, will you come back on the show? We can play talk about it?
For sure, man. Definitely. All right. You could.
Fuck yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you, Scotty Irvin, again, for making the connect.
Yes, thank you, Scotty.
Absolutely. August 11, 2023, Dishwap Pedro. So keep your